Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Today we've got a great revenge story on a fool at a dog park. We'll get into that in a bit, but first, moving day. This happened yesterday at my new next-door neighbor's townhouse. He bought the house a few weeks ago, and the movers came to unload the truck with his household stuff and move him in. A huge truck pulled into the driveway, in front of his garage. When they opened up the back of the truck and looked at what was there, they told him that he needed to pay an additional $400 because of how much stuff he had, and that it would take 2 more hours to unload. He protested, but they threatened to leave and he could take it up with the moving company. They had him over a barrel and took the credit card payment. The movers asked him to open the garage door so they could take everything into the townhouse because the front door off to the side had about a dozen steps. There was a car in the garage and they asked him to remove it. He did. The truck pulled up and in about an hour, everything was unloaded and inside. But he had pulled the car in behind the truck, effectively preventing it from driving out. When they asked him to move it, he told them that his wife had the keys and was out shopping. She would be back in a couple hours, since they had told him and her that they needed a couple extra hours to unload. When they pushed back, he told them that he was paying for 2 more hours of their time, so it really didn't matter. She walked out the front door 2 hours later and moved her car so they could drive out and leave. I love this revenge. If they're gonna try to be predatory like that, and they really did have them over a barrel and they had to just go with it and take the credit card payment and whatnot, at least they got some kind of revenge against them. Grumble, grumble, we couldn't screw this guy over and go home 2 hours early. Ditsy Davros wrote, I would have said if you want me to move my car, that'll be $400. Also, hi, I'm Steven, and if you guys enjoy awesome stories of revenge, it would be amazing if you left a like or left a review if you're listening to my podcast. That said, our next story is Little Brother Learns. 90s memory. I, female, got a little baby brother when I was 3. Let's call him Kurt. Older brother 6. Let's call him Grant. So, middle child, only girl. I was mega small for a kid, and Kurt was the most gigantic baby that may have ever existed. I always wanted to hold him, but couldn't obviously hold him safely, and my mom would put me on the couch with pillows and stuff to support baby Kurt so it would be safe, and I loved him so much. We grew up a bit, and Grant and I would roughhouse. We super loved WWF wrestling and had a giant trampoline, so we'd get a little wild, but Grant never intentionally hurt me. He'd flip me around and pick me up into the air while we were wrestling and do the moves like from the TV, pile drivers, choke slams. But I was so small and he was so big, he could just kind of do a pretend version, like the wrestlers do, never actually hurt me. I'd grab his arm while he choke slammed me and he'd have one on my back to lift me up. He'd have a hold on me from the shoulders while he pile drived me and obviously I'd stop before like my neck snapped or anything. He'd catch me and it would be okay. I kind of went all out on Grant, but he was so much bigger than me it never really mattered to him. I could hit him as hard as I possibly could and it was just nothing to him, so I learned to do chokeholds and that's a whole different story. I'd always let him up when he tapped though, like just trying to win the match. No malice, no aggression. Kurt, as he got a little older and maybe watched me and Grant physically going at each other, I guess he decided he wanted in, but he was so mean. Through his kind of baby toddler years, Kurt was real close to my size still. Me and Grant would be playing, albeit a little violently, and Kurt would come in and just start hitting and kicking and trying to hurt. Like, no idea of the rules to not really inflict pain. I would get hurt and upset and run, as I'm sure we've all done as children, with a generally rational mom with siblings and be like, Mom, Kurt hit me. I'd get, oh, well, he's a baby. He doesn't know. Be nice. So many times. I'd have little bruises, but nah. Kurt's a baby. He doesn't know any better. To be fair to my mom, she did, like, sit him down and talk to him about it and everything. So it's not like she ignored it. When I was maybe 7, so Kurt was about 4, he did the same aggressive thing, basically just attacked me physically when Grant and I were having normal roughhousing sessions, and it hurt, and I went, probably crying, to my mom, and I finally hear the magic words, "Well, he's old enough. He's gotta learn. Hit him back." I stormed my way back outside and socked him right on the arm as hard as I could. I yelled, "Don't hit me." I had practiced my punch so many times on Grant's beefy arm, and my itty-bitty fist of fury was nothing to him, but for Kurt, oh, he felt it. He cried and ran inside and was yelling he was going to tell Mom. I was like, "Yeah, go tell Mom. She's gonna tell you you started it." And then he mostly stopped hitting us with mean-spirited intentions. Mostly. He would kind of freak out sometimes, but it was mostly an accident if anyone actually got hurt. So that's when my little brother got included officially into the sibling WWF events on the trampoline. He did still flail and accidentally hurt us, but stopped, like, intentionally hurting us, because we were allowed to send it right back. Everyone's gotta learn somehow. Sometimes I get sucked into watching a little WWE stuff for fun. In WWE wrestling, what OP's describing, where you actually do get hit and hurt, and you give one right back to them because they were being negligent or aggressive, it's called a receipt. Giving somebody a receipt means they did something to you and you're giving it right back to them. It's a part of the process of learning how to sell these wrestling moves a bit more safely for both sides. Somber Shark wrote, "Your story brings back memories. My brother, an older cousin, male, and I were into the WWF when we were younger. Mostly those two would also mimic some of the movies. I was always the one getting put into chokeholds and the like. Like with Grant and you, it was never done maliciously. We even grabbed a tape camcorder to record a televised wrestling match one time. We even got the sisters of my cousin to act as announcers and ref for it." Our next story is, "First Chair yells at me for missing a performance, make him look like a total tool before the full room. I, 23-year-old female, recently graduated this past weekend, and my parents came to my city to have dinner with me. When we were talking at dinner, my mom reminded me of a kid I used to attend high school with. I honestly didn't remember this story until she said his name, but I think it was a pretty satisfying moment in my young life. For context, I've been playing violin as a casual hobby for the vast part of my life. My grandma knew someone through the grapevine who would mentor me, and I attended her lessons from kindergarten all the way to senior year of high school. I have a pretty good grasp of the instrument, and an echoic memory, which is a neat little party trick. I did do some recitals here and there, but the closest I'd ever come to playing in a group was with my old church, and even then, it was pretty laid back. When I was a freshman, I joined with my school's string orchestra. This was a small group, and I was the only new.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Storytime is sponsored by BetterHelp. Nearly everyone at some point in their life will struggle with their mental health, whether that's something stressful at work, in a personal relationship, or something else. I know that I really struggled with anxiety in my early 20s, and therapy was a massive help for me. That's why I'm a massive fan of therapy, and today's sponsor, BetterHelp. If there is anything in your life, big or small, that is negatively affecting you, get it off your chest with BetterHelp. It's an online therapy service that, after finishing a small questionnaire, will match you with a licensed therapist, where you can book appointments that match up with your schedule at any place or any time. And if you feel like you're not bonding with your therapist, you can switch at any point for free. Also, therapy isn't just if you're struggling with mental health. If you're looking for guidance or ways to improve your social skills, life, or relationships, it's a great judgment-free way of doing that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/StorytimePod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/StorytimePod. Freshman that year, I think it was about 14 kids at the most. My director was a very cool guy, and he was very accommodating since I was new to the learn a piece in X amount of weeks, but then be ready to perform it here strategy. Again, I was a casual player. I was still on book 4 of the Suzuki collection. This did not sit well with the first chair for violins. Let's call him Guy. Guy was a junior, a top scoring student, and had a bunch of other accolades to his name. My mom also apparently knew Guy. When she did recess duty at my previous school, Guy was constantly giving her lip and always brushed her off to seem cool. According to her and some gossip, he was one of those instant gratification only child types. The kids who are spoiled rotten by their parents so they never have to wait. My mom did not like his spoiled brattiness, and when she heard he was the first chair of my orchestra, she was already getting some, oh god, sort of vibes from him, but said nothing to not make me worry. Guy was a very intense leader. I think his instant gratification attitude spilled over into his musical pursuits. He was highly competitive and took his role as first chair very seriously. From day one, he made it clear that he didn't think I belonged in the orchestra. He would make snide comments about my playing, question my abilities, and generally make me feel unwelcome, especially with my other orchestra members. He always went out of his way to exclude me. I wasn't too bothered by it at first, but it did slowly chip away at me. I continued to practice diligently and work hard to prove myself. Slowly but surely, I started to gain confidence in my playing. My director was supportive and encouraged me to keep pushing forward, and I will always thank him for that. In early fall, we were due to have an open house for incoming freshmen and families, and my orchestra group was supposed to be there and perform for a few hours to get kids to join. Unfortunately, a few days before, my dad had some sudden medical complications, ruptured spleen. Because it was so sudden and out of nowhere, I didn't have time to really tell my director that I wouldn't be able to make it due to the family emergency. The open house was on Sunday, and my director called my house that very Sunday to try and figure out where I was. Admittedly, I panicked when the director called. It totally slipped my mind. I think I said something like, "Sir, I apologize for all this, but my dad's in the hospital. He's having surgery, and it's been serious and complicated, and I just don't know what's gonna happen. I apologize for not giving you a proper heads up, but it's just been a haze all weekend." Try to remain cool and calm, even though I was mentally freaking the heck out. Thankfully, my director was very understanding, and even talked to me and my mom to make sure we were doing okay. He said that it was no big deal that I was missing out, since this was a smaller event, and I should focus more on my own mental health more than anything. It was nice to have such an understanding guy. I don't think he told any of the other members out of respect for my privacy, but Guy was frankly ticked about the whole situation. He was stewing on it for a while. Thankfully, my dad's surgery was a success, and he was doing better. Of course, Guy had to spoil my mood. The orchestra room at my school is usually open in the mornings, which lets kids drop off their instruments for the day. The day after the performance, I walked in to put my violin in its usual spot, and Guy angrily confronted me about why I missed out, pitching a whole scene in front of the others who were hanging out in there. I have no idea why he did this, but it was clear he was trying to embarrass me. He accused me of being unreliable and letting the team down, saying that my absence reflected poorly on the orchestra as a whole. He yelled, "What the heck gives you a pass to skip yesterday?" And at this point, I've already been stressed for the better part of a weekend, so I decide to get some petty revenge right now. I'm guessing he wants me to just start crying, so I do. He looks satisfied for a second before I yell out, loud enough for people outside to hear, "My dad was in surgery, you jerk!" and then run off. Was I acting? Yes. But did it instantly shut him up? Absolutely. I got told this by a buddy in band, but after I ran out, Guy looked like he'd swallowed a dang frog at that moment. Everyone in the room was giving him a look that said, "What the heck, guy?" And he looked like he wanted to yell at everyone. After that, I guess he tried to pitch another fit in the group chat with all his older buddies, and I think they chewed him out too, because from their perspective, he just yelled at a freshman whose dad was having a dang medical emergency. I got stopped by a few of them in the hall, and they checked in, saw if I was doing better, just extending the basic definition of empathy. It was nice to see, and I think they felt better when I confirmed some stuff. Word got back to the director quick. He must have chewed Guy a new one, because when I got into orchestra that day, Guy looked very defeated. He didn't even look at me until the director took the stand. First off, he said the open house was a moderate success, and congratulated the group who played. However, he shifted gears and said he was very disappointed by some infighting within the group, and immediately turned towards Guy. He cleared his throat and asked if he had anything to say to me. Guy let out a very weak, "I'm sorry," and began hastily setting up his music stand. It was a very pathetic apology, but I wasn't exactly gonna sulk about not getting one. I had a lot more important things to focus on. After class, my director asked how I was doing, if my dad's surgery went okay, etc. Again, cool guy. I hope he's enjoying retirement. The director ended up emailing my mom about what happened, knowing that the little crap that defied her authority back then got some minor comeuppance was a little petty revenge for her, carried out unintentionally by me. And the cherry on top? My dad came home the exact same day, so that was another weight lifted off my shoulders. Guy did revert back to his usual rudeness, but he never blew up on me again to that effect. A bunch of his orchestra buddies did end up befriending me, so I had an enjoyable 2 years with them before they all graduated. After that, I ended up taking Guy's chair, and I promised myself I'd be more laid back and understanding with other members than he was with me. I think it worked out pretty good. We were a smaller group at that point, but still a really great sounding one. There's definitely some kids in school growing up who just do no-shows or are kind of truant, I guess you could say. But even in most of those situations, it's usually because there's something going on at home. If somebody is just an absolute no-show to something, you shouldn't just immediately expect that they're slacking off or just chose not to go. Guy got not only embarrassed multiple times, but hopefully they learned a very valuable life lesson about assuming anything about somebody who doesn't show up to an arranged meeting. He or he wrote, "It's pretty impressive how you can see it all leading up to him exploding. Being spoiled and never having to wait, only to be forced to wait an entire weekend before getting his satisfying confrontation, is likely what led to him trying to publicly embarrass him. Since he's never had to wait for his satisfaction to be sated, he was probably stewing in his anger ever since the performance. He must have been a nightmare to everyone around him because he likely wouldn't be able to think about anything except calling you out." Our next story is, tedious return policy? No price adjustments? Hope you like cardboard. I had placed 2 online orders from a clothing store. Then, the next day, they put on a huge sale discounting the items I bought by 40%.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I opened their customer service chat and asked for a price adjustment. Nope, they don't do price adjustments. I asked to cancel the order, which had not yet shipped. Nope, too far along to cancel the order. Okay, time to return and repurchase at the new price. Each return has a $5 return fee. Can I combine the 2 orders into 1 return shipment to save 1 return fee? Nope, return fee is per order, not per shipment. So what can I do but print out the separate return labels, find the largest cardboard boxes I have, pack them up separately, and ship away? At least now I don't have to break down those boxes. This is just a frustrating experience in general and would probably make me not a repeat customer in the future. It kind of reminds me of a purchase I made from Newegg a while back. About a year or so ago, I'd gotten a CPU upgrade, and literally the day after I received it and popped it into the new computer, there's now a deal where if you buy one, they'll include a free copy of a $70 game that's just coming out. Well, support told me they don't offer any returns unless it's specifically defective, and some BS about how because the game deal is with the publisher, they can't just give you a free code. It just really kind of annoyed me that I spent so much money at Newegg on PC parts, and their support turns around and goes, "Nope, get bent." Emma MK wrote, "Where I'm from, if the weight exceeds the paid postage, the item is held until the addressee pays the remainder." I know this because I once posted an 8-page job application with a first-class stamp, and the employer had to pay to receive it. And I still got the job, amazingly. I don't know why I mentioned this. I certainly wouldn't recommend repeating my mistake. Our next story is, "You're going to have to move if you want my car park." On Friday, I was waiting to pick up my spouse from a medical appointment. He emerges, limping and sore from a guided injection in the hip. He slowly gets in the car and tells me how it went. I start the car, put it in reverse, and wouldn't you know it, there's a driver who wants this space. Cool. Will they reverse to give me room? No. So I wait for them to move. They don't. I wait. They wait. This is also in a busy road and it's angle parking nose in. Still waiting. Been over a minute. So I decide we need milk. I turn the car off and tell my spouse to sit tight and let me know what happens. I come back out to him chuckling with a huge grin on his face. I ask, "Well?" Turns out impatient Karen blared the horn twice and finally drove forward and realized there was no driver in the car. Blares the horn again and sped off. First time I've been this petty for a while. To be fair, I think most people in a situation like that, if they don't think they can get out, would probably just, you know, honk the horn. Or maybe just go the classic way of rolling down the window and yelling out, "Move your freaking car!" ITR Cool wrote, "Was at the mall back in high school. Got back out to my car, started it up and shifted to reverse. Karen driver shows up, clearly wanting my space. Aqua Jeep Wrangler backs out at the same time I'm backing out from across the parking aisle, but waits just enough to block the aisle because neither of us can back out all the way. Karen driver is blocking me, and as a result, I'm blocking the Jeep. We're both staring at the Karen to get out of the way. Karen driver, instead of backing up to give us both room to back out and pull away, keeps inching forward, staring at me, wondering why I'm not backing out all the way. She's giving me less and less room to back out. Eventually, I pull back into my space, and Jeep driver also pulls back into his, and we wait. We're both staring at the Karen driver. She keeps staring at me, inching forward with her signal on. She eventually huffs and flails her arms and zooms away up the aisle. Jeep driver backs out and then leaves, and I leave next. Our next story is, really petty protest of freak boy adult nephew. I've been plagued into constant long-term visits from my adult nephew, who constantly is doing something. Working at an unlicensed weed shop, stealing cars, sneaking girls in my house, getting one pregnant as soon as he saw his 18th, getting a restraining order for one of those girls, banning him from his own mother's house and into mine. I try to take everything in stride, but he constantly does something that makes me want to scream every time. He keeps rearranging my bathroom to how he's used to back home, despite me constantly asking and telling him to stop. In my household, we leave the toilet lid up, for example. He keeps leaving it down. I nearly went all over the toilet and floor every night because I'm used to stumbling out of bed to relieve myself, half-consciously. Then he does this weirdest freak thing where he moves the toilet paper far out of arm reach of the toilet. So you then go to reach where a normal person would keep the toilet paper, just for it to be placed far out of the way. Today, I had it. I'm hiding the toilet paper and plan to keep doing it as long as he remains here. Perhaps a few instances of going and realizing he has nothing to wipe with will make him more respectful of other people's house rules. I completely get upset about him rearranging everything in the bathroom, moving the toilet paper out of reach. But can we all agree that if you have multiple people staying in the same house, and one insists on leaving the toilet seat down, that you should be the one adjusting to accepting that rather than the unhygienic up? That was the only thing I disagreed with OP on here. OP on, no pun intended. Seven Rusty Swords in a Cake wrote, "Okay, the toilet seat one is a hygiene thing. Put the lid down when you flush so you don't get gross particles everywhere. But all the other stuff, fair game. Hide the TP, but outside the bathroom. Get in a habit of bringing it with you. Hopefully that'll say something." Our next story is, can't follow the rules at the dog park? I might not be able to fix it, but I can make it expensive. I regularly visit my local dog park with two of my dogs. We have a great neighborly relationship with several of the regulars. And it really is a highlight of my day to go to the dog park. I always make a joke that I'm just going to stop bringing the dogs at some point because I think I get more out of it than they do. My local dog park is easy and convenient for me to use, and it's even more convenient because my brother lives in the house that is next to the dog park, with his grassed side yard being directly on the other side of the dog park parking lot. The dog park regularly runs out of parking spots, and there are clear signs on the edge of my brother's yard that say, "No parking on grass, vehicles will be towed at owner's expense." Well, due to this little familial perk, I have taken to just parking on his grass, because my brother said I'm more than welcome to, and it keeps a spot open for others who may need it. This will be important later. So, about 2 months ago, somebody new decided to begin using the dog park with their two chihuahuas, and they immediately broke two rules. First, they didn't leash in the area that is leashes only. Second, they brought their chihuahuas into the big dog area. I politely told this lady that she needed to take her chihuahuas out because they were snapping at several dogs, including my hound dog, who is not real smart. So my hound dog wasn't getting the message, and the chihuahuas were getting really aggressive to the point that one of them tried to bite my dog. She responded by telling me to freak off. I left and went over to my brother's house and made sure my dog was okay. He was. This continued for several weeks. Her dogs in the big dog area, without leashes from the car to the gated area, but I was a little upset that even after calling the county, no one was holding this woman accountable to the rules. Finally, I decided to just change my schedule. So I staggered my time of going to the dog park, and I started getting there so I could leave when Chihuahua Lady arrived. She came at the same time every day. I did too. It isn't uncommon for people to have specific dog park times, and I was able to avoid most interaction. That is, except for the one I was looking forward to. So one morning, I had the boys leashed back up on the way out, and as we were walking to my car, there wasn't any parking available. I saw Chihuahua Lady pulling in. She was looking for a spot, and I said to her, "I guess you can park over on that grass once I leave." She says, "I didn't think that was allowed." I said, "Oh yeah, I park there all the time. Just wait for me to pull out and take the spot." She said, "Thanks. Wow, I appreciate it." So I pulled out. I saw her pull in right behind me, and I called my brother, who works from home, and let him know that somebody had parked on his grass. I asked him to call up the tow company and have them towed, and ask them to come quick. He was a little puzzled as to the reason for the urgency, and I explained the situation and who this was. Well, he calls me back 20 minutes later and says that the car is hooked up to a wrecker and that there's an angry lady screeching at the tow truck driver, telling the tow truck driver that she sees people park there all the time. At this point, my brother went outside and explained that the only car that is ever there is his brother's, and that his brother is the only one allowed to park there, and that he saw her pull in this morning when his brother left, directly behind him. The lady continued to scream, and the tow truck driver said, "If you pay the unhook fee of $300 and the owner agrees to it, you can just move your car." Well, my brother was a nice guy and figured my plan had gone far enough, so he agreed. The lady had to shell out $300 right there in front of him, and the tow truck driver unhooked her and took off. She looked at my brother and said, "Your brother is a jerk," got her dogs in her car, and drove off. And even though that lady still won't change her ways, at least I got to feel a little bit better about the situation. I don't know if I would have it in me to do exactly what OP did. I think I would just get in the car and leave, and maybe call the brother and tell them to watch out for this lady, because Lord knows somebody like that who doesn't care probably would take their chances even without OP telling her. I'm honestly afraid for her little chihuahua snappers in the big dog area, because just feels like a matter of time before they find a dog that doesn't respond nicely to their yapping and snapping. Tina Kane 51 wrote, "When I was younger, I had three Portuguese water dogs who were so chill and got along with everyone. I can't tell you how many times I had to get my dogs, put them on a leash and take them home because of some jerk whose dog was also a jerk. And the ones who brought their dogs let them off in the park and then sat on park benches and yapped with other people, not paying attention to their dog's behavior at all. If I ever won a Powerball or millions of dollars, I would love to have a really cool dog park that was a subscription, and the dog had to pass tests, and the park only admitted members." This next story is, "Spite Might Be My Superpower." 20 plus years ago, my wife and I bought a grill from Home Depot. We happened to go to one that was a few miles from our house, even though there was one closer. Got it home, My wife is super excited as it was a really big purchase for us at the time. The next day I'm at home putting it together, and when I got to the stand, it's just not working. It takes me a bit, but I realize there is definitely something wrong with the stand. So I call the Home Depot closest to me to see if, instead of taking the entire grill apart to put it back in the box, I can just return the stand. I'm put on hold for a long time. So long, I call from her cell and ask if they're aware they have had someone waiting on hold for X amount of time. I want to say 30 minutes, but not sure. They transfer me to someone in outdoors. I explain the situation and ask if I can just swap out the stand. He tells me no. Keep in mind, I still have the receipt and just bought this less than 24 hours earlier from another Home Depot. I nicely ask to speak to a manager because I realize he probably doesn't have the authority to say yes. Not his fault. Manager gets on the phone and I explain everything, including the wait on hold. Nope, I have to bring in the entire grill. At this point, I'm upset, mostly because my wife is crying. I don't know why, and 20 plus years later, I still don't know why she was crying over this, but she did. This I don't take lightly. So I tell the manager, okay, if that's what I need to do, I will. However, I am an electrician and I am self-employed. I buy most of my materials at Home Depot. I'm small, so it's probably around $100,000 a year in sales. Drop in the bucket for Home Depot. And I don't make empty promises, so I'm not going to tell them that I won't ever shop there again. But I do promise you that I won't spend a dime there for at least a year. He says that he's sorry and wishes there was something he could do to change my mind. I remind him that there is. Just swap out the stand. He still says no. Okay, we're done. Promise kept. I not only didn't spend a dime there for a year, it lasted over 15 years. And in the last 5 plus years, I've only shopped there a handful of times. However, I would go in there anytime I needed to return items. And when I would do returns, it would be a bunch of miscellaneous items and usually be $500 to $1,000. I did this for 2 reasons. First, most stores, when they get returns, they are counted as negative sales, regardless of where they're bought. So not only did they not get the sales credit for the things I bought, they got negative sales for the things I returned. The second reason was to fill out the survey on the receipt. I would never ding the cashier who helped me do the returns and would often praise them, but I would always put in the comments my experience with the grill and the manager and why I would not spend money in that store. For the record, I called the store that we bought the grill at, and they were more than happy to just replace the stand. Even after I told them about the other store, they seemed confused as to why they said no. I don't blame OP for wanting to go about it this way because, obviously at that point, you've pulled everything out. The box might be a little bit torn up. I mean, at that point, if they're like, you need to return it, I would just like put everything in the bed of like a van or a truck or whatever vehicle you have and take it on over there in parts. I definitely wouldn't be going to the effort of putting anything back in a box. You want to go to the effort of having any of your employees deal with that mess rather than just swapping one part out? Be my guest, give me a brand new one. Especially annoying because you're probably almost there, fully complete, you just need the stand to work. Shopping for Truth Road, I just go to Home Depot, buy another identical grill, swap the stand in the parking lot, walk right back in and return the defective grill you just bought. In fact, once, when I did a similar thing, when I found a broken globe on a ceiling fan that I didn't want to deinstall to return the whole thing, I told them to their face I was going to do it. They didn't care, so neither did I. But with that being said, that's all the time we have for today. Now, if you want to hear another awesome revenge story, check out that video on the left. Or if you missed my latest video, check out that video on the right. That said, I'll see you all next time with some more stories.